First of all, I would like to thank God for that, you know, sense of the presence of the Lord amongst us.
Amen.
When I was listening to Brother Dave, I really feel that, you know, presence, that precious presence of the Holy Spirit, and that's great. What he didn't tell you is when was our first meeting. Obviously, he forgot about that, but it was in, he came in a very special moment into our church.
Yes.
We were kind of in a big hole, you know. I felt like me personally, I'm in a big spiritual hole. I didn't feel good with myself. I wasn't pleased with the results into the church, and it was just that horrible feeling. I'm not doing anything here. I'm just wasting my time. And nothing will happen, and nobody gets saved in this church, and the things will go from bad to worse, and all those things. And he came into our church for Wednesday evening service. At that time we had Wednesday evening service. And he preached a sermon on how to become work of God. And honestly, I'm telling you, this is the only sermon I remember so long. You know, and when the church finished, I went to him and I asked him, because at that time we didn't have almost none guests into the church. You know, nobody could come, and you know, it was like really hold on my way. And after the service, I asked him, "Well, brother, let me know what you are seeing into my church. What's the feeling into my church? What's going on into my church?" Because sometimes, you know, outside, if someone is coming from outside, he might see things we cannot see when we're inside. So we went for a dinner outside, and he said, "You know, what I feel is that warm hospital spirit amongst you guys." Mm-hmm. And he said, "That's great. Go ahead with that." Nowadays, you know, since then our church started to grow and grow and grow and grow, and now, right now, probably our church is probably one of the biggest churches. I would say probably the biggest church in our district, or second largest church, which really doesn't matter so much, but still, it's for pastors, it's always good to say I'm in the biggest church, you know. But praise the Lord, God is blessing us. He's saving souls. He's adding people. Brother Dave asked about testimonies. Well, let me tell you, in the last 10 days since we're in the United States, I have so many testimonies.
Mm.
You know, so many dreams into my life coming true, you know. Meeting brilliant brothers and sisters and doing great stuff over here. So I'm so blessed by being here, guys. It's a great testimony. You know, honestly, there are so many things into my life which I was dreaming for into my life, you know, in the secret place. And you cannot afford even to say them. For example, to travel around America, to meet such a beautiful people, and to do such an amazing thing. I didn't dare to dream even.
Amen.
But today, I'm living there. I mean, the things I couldn't dream even are happening to me today. So I'm pretty happy with that. And I thank the Lord.
Amen.
But we were talking with Brother Nick the other day about that. Why is that happening to us? What do we did to get that?
Mm-hmm.
And all we can say is just God's mercy on us.
Praise
and Lord. Nothing else. Just the mercy of God upon us. Now, about our church, we're living in a small town. I mean, for Bulgaria, it's a middle-sized town. It's about 40,000 people living there. And we have probably one-third of the population of our district would be Turkish people, which is, they consider themselves Muslim. And the time the situation over there is very tough. I mean, lots of people hardly can find something to eat, and it's a really battle to survive even. But praise the Lord, he's caring for his people. He take care of everything in my life. I'm preaching the gospel since I have been 17 years of age. That was the time when I got saved. It was 1991 or 1990. Immediately after the communism fell, we didn't have any leaders into the churches then. So, since I have been saved, I'm preaching the gospel, and I'm leading churches over there. What I would like to ask you, if I can do that, I would like to ask you guys, please pray for Bulgaria. I know you're going, you know lots of people over here, lots of churches are there. Please ask everybody in the next month or so to pray for us in Bulgaria, because Muslim is growing very fast in Europe. And 15 years ago, a preacher came to Bulgaria, and he kind of prophesied, and he said that the Bulgaria can be door for Christ to go in the Middle East, or Bulgaria can be door for the Islam to come in Europe. Right now, what we are seeing that the Bulgaria is a door for Islam to come in Europe, and we are really not doing great with that thing. So it's a spirit. You cannot imagine what a spirit is that.
Yes.
I mean, it's very heavy atmosphere, and even Bulgarian people are forbidding us to. In the government they trying doing everything they can to stop us preaching to the Turkish people.
Yes.
For example. Yeah, I met the local mayor just before the last elections, and he said, you know guys, me and another person from the town, we have actually only two Protestant churches into my town. And he said to us, it was private meeting, me, mayor, and the other person, he said, you know guys, the last battle in the world will be between Islam and Christianity. And he said, Orthodox Church doesn't do anything with that. Only people who are caring for the people and preaching the gospel is you. So we should support you. That's what the guy said. But then they are trying to do things to stop us. For example, we were going to make a crusade in a Turkish neighborhood, preaching the loudspeakers and preaching the gospel and singing the song for Christ and all those things. And you know what? A Bulgarian guy for the government, local government, he tried to stop up us. He said, no, you don't do that. I said, why not? And he said, well, that and that and that. But we did it because I told him, listen, I'm going, if you want to arrest me, go ahead, but I'm going to preach the gospel over there. So we went, yeah, we made a crusade, and he said, okay, you did it this time, but next time, no way. Mm-hmm. And God will take care of him, you know, if he's on the way of God, God will remove him, that's not a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, still, sometimes it could be difficult for us if a Bulgarian person tried to stop us preaching the gospel. What the Turkish people would do.
Mm.
So we need your support, guys. Prayer. Just pray for us. Pray for our boldness. Pray for us to have our wisdom. Because I know if we don't stop, nobody could do that.
Yes.
I mean, because God will be with us all the time. So please pray for us. Because as Brother Dave is saying so often, you know, the biggest enemy of our is we. I'm the biggest enemy of myself. So what I'd like to ask you, really pray for us, because obviously we're young guys, you know, I'm 36 and even I'm preaching almost, for 18 years already, and the gospel, still we have so many issues to deal with ourselves, you know. So, and the last thing I would like to say before turning the sermon the gathering to Nick, I would like to tell you, big thank you. I mean, big thank you to America,
yes.
Because you don't know what a blessing you are for us guys.
Yes.
I mean, 1990s, lots of American people, they came to Bulgaria preaching the gospel. They paid the price, probably some of them were risking their lives.
Yes.
They put lots of money in doing that. I mean, they rent all stadiums. They put so much money into the advertisement of the gatherings, and they preach the gospel literally to thousands of people in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And many were saved because of that. And I could say I'm probably one of the fruits of American preachers and American churches. And I know, guys, you're facing some things in the last year here in America. I mean, Christianity is probably attacked very badly by our enemy. But still, I think everything is with purpose. I believe God is in control of everything. And we'll pray for you guys. And one more time, thank you for everything you're doing for Bulgaria. And thank you for everything you're doing for Bulgarian Christianity.
Praise.
Now, Nick, I will enjoy his message. He's one of the greatest preachers I I know, and I really enjoy to listening to him. And we know each other for in the last 15 years or so. We almost grew up like the kids together. We got saved almost the same time. We were in the same school at once. So he came to United States to study here in a Bible school, and I'm really looking for his message. And Nick, why don't you come here and take the service?
Praise God.
Good.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Well, it is always a pleasure to share God's word.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Although normal people don't do that.
Yeah.
Normal people, they become teachers, they become plumbers.
Yes.
Because this is a serious business.
Yes.
We're dealing with the destiny of the people, with
yes.
people's lives, and we have to be serious about it.
Amen.
So, I would like to start with a quick prayer. Can we?
Yes.
Lord, thank you for this evening, for this gathering, Lord Jesus. And we ask you to show us your glory, Lord Jesus. Show us your faith, and we know we can make it to the end if we just see your face, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We ask you to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you, Lord God.
Yes.
We want to know you in deeper way, Lord Jesus. We want to know your ways, Lord God. We want to be people who follow you no matter what is happening in their lives, Lord
yes.
God.
Yes.
We want to be the people who follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb goes.
Yes.
So we thank you. We ask you to come and open our eyes, Lord God. Let us see your glory and come and break the bread of your word. In Jesus'
amen.
Name, amen.
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 Well, whatever we hear, the Bible says in Joshua 1:8 that we have to meditate
yeah.
on the word of God day
amen.
And night.
Amen.
And the rest of the time we can meditate on our own things.
Yes.
But day and night we have to meditate on the word, on the word of God. I don't know, but I believe that somehow the Lord wants to touch the future generation to our life.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard that that story, but I really love that story. Yeah. They made a survey, and they tracked two people who lived 250 years ago.
Yeah.
And they wanted to see, is there any profit of serving the Lord?
Yeah.
What can something good come because somebody has dedicated his life to the Lord?
Wow.
So they choose one man. His name was Max Junks.
Mm.
And he lived 250 years ago. So they saw his descendants.
Yes.
They look at his grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And they saw that from his loins, there were came out 210 homeless people.
Mm. Yes.
This guy, he was atheist.
Yes.
He didn't believe the Lord. He lived his own way.
Yes.
And he also produced 150 criminals.
Mm. Yeah.
7 killers.
Mm.
90 alcoholics.
Mm. Wow.
And 130 prostitutes.
Wow.
This was the fruit of his life.
Yes.
This is the life he lived. And this is the generation that came after him.
Mm.
And then they decided to look at another man who dedicated his life to the Lord, who served the Lord with all his all of his heart.
Yes. Mm.
So they saw that out of his loins, out of his seat, came one vice president.
Wow.
Yes.
90 people with master's degree,
wow.
150 missionaries, 3 senators, and 160 pastors.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
And his name is Jonathan Edwards.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you heard that
yes.
name.
Yes.
So I believe it's not just a statistic. I believe
yeah.
this is encouragement for all of us to serve the Lord, not just for our sake,
yes.
but let us serve the Lord for our children's sake.
Yes.
With Pastor Emma, we have some friends, and I see them from time to time, and they believe in God, they are on fire for Him. But somehow, because of some bitterness, they don't go to church.
Mm. Yes.
And I have talked to them a couple of times, and I told them, if you don't want to serve the Lord for yourself,
yeah.
do it for your kids.
Yes.
Let your kids grow up in the church. Let your kids be familiar with prayer life.
Yeah.
Let your kids be familiar with the Word of God. So if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your children.
Yes.
And I'm encouraged, and I know that our kids, even if Jesus doesn't come back, that out of our loins, even after 200, 300 years ago, after us,
yes,
we still have, will have a descendants who will serve the Lord.
Amen.
So who knows?
Yes.
Maybe out of us will come 160 pastors and,
yes, Lord,
and missionaries,
Amen,
to all the earth.
Amen.
So let us be encouraged.
Amen.
I want to start with one verse in Genesis chapter 39. And I love this guy here. Somehow I can see myself in him, and he's my favorite if I had to have one. And this is Joseph. I love the story of Joseph.
Yes.
And in chapter 39, verse 2. Let's read verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down tighter. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And the Lord was with Joseph. Let's stop here.
Yes.
Do you hear it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, and the Lord was with Joseph.
Wow.
Doesn't say that the book was with Joseph.
No.
Doesn't say that the doctrine or a manual.
Praise God.
Or a philosophy or a principle or a principle was with Joseph. No, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. And it is interesting that in this chapter 39, three times we can see this phrase. And the Lord was with Joseph. And it seems to me that we as people, we all want to be successful in the ministry, in the business, in the areas that the Lord has put us. And sometimes we look at the wrong place. Today the world, the church, they are looking for new ideas, new principles, new stuff, new formulas, and etc. and etc. How to have this, how to have that. And I know that God is with all of us. But when the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph, it's not about the... we know that God is omnipresent.
Yes.
He's everywhere.
Yes.
But here it speaks about the manifest presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And you know, in life, you can feel the Lord is so close to you that you can touch Him, you can taste Him, you can see Him. And this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's not just that the Lord is with everybody. See, the Lord wasn't with Pharaoh. And I believe that the secret for our life, for our ministry, is this, for all of us.
Amen.
For the Lord to be with us.
Amen.
Not a principle, not a book, not an idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
The main reason... see, I put somebody to sleep. It's not for the first time. It is interesting, in Mark chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus called his disciples. And it says in 14, Mark chapter 3, 14, 13, Jesus went up into the mountain and called unto himself whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12. And see the reason why he ordained them. That they should be with him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the primary purpose of everything that we do. That they should be with him. And see the result. And that he may send them forth to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Well, if it depended on us, we will reverse that.
Mm.
We want to cast out devils, we want to heal the sick, we want to preach the gospel, and if we have time, we'll spend with the Lord.
Yes.
But see, all these things that we will do will be a result of the fact that we are with Him.
Yes.
And see, it is interesting that the word here, it says that He ordained to have that they should be with Him. So now in English grammar, should is optional. You know, there are a couple of words for have to and must. You have no choice, right?
Sure.
But when you use the word should, you have a choice.
Yes.
You may not do it.
Sure.
So it's an optional. The same thing with Jesus said in the Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He says, I stand at the door and knock.
Yes.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. So it's also optional.
Yeah.
If anyone hears my voice.
Right.
So we have to decide to be with him. Yes. But spending time with the Lord will cost us something.
Yes.
Because he's a consuming fire.
Yes.
And the more we draw to the Lord, more of our flesh, more of our things will have to burn.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's good that he gives beautiful ashes.
Yes.
So if we continue with the story of Joseph, we can say, well, what's so special? And I've always wondered in my life, does God have favorites?
Yes.
And I don't think that Joseph was more special than you and I.
Yeah, that's right.
The Lord loves everybody the same. Mm. But everybody decides how close he wants to be to the Lord.
Yeah, yeah,
he says, draw to the Lord and he will draw near to you.
Amen. Amen.
So we have to make the first step. And see, I believe that the Lord was with Joseph because Joseph didn't get bitter.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't become unforgiving.
Yes.
And it says that, see, Joseph could give up at any time, like us.
Mm-hmm.
We can quit the ministry, we can quit going to church, we can quit serving the Lord at any time we want.
Yeah.
But he didn't quit up.
Yes.
He didn't quit, he didn't give up. He continued to serve the Lord. And it says in, we are not going to open there in Isaiah 66, that although the Lord is high and lifted up,
yes,
he will look to the one who is with broken heart,
yes,
and contrite spirit.
Yes.
And this brokenness that we see in Joseph drew the Lord near to, mm-hmm, Joseph, to Joseph like a magnet, as a magnet.
Yes.
And I believe God is not looking for new ideas or principles or churches. He's looking for people who are committed and obedient to him. To follow him, it doesn't matter what price they will have to pay.
Yeah. Yes.
Like our brother said, many people are serving the Lord when everything is fine and good and nice.
Mm.
I know everybody wants to jump and shout in the green waters and by the green pastures, by the still waters and green pastures. Everybody can be a Christian there.
Yeah.
But you see, if you are really a Christian, when you go into the valley of the shadow of death, there you see what is inside of you.
Yes.
It's Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we have this treasure, Jesus Christ, in these earthly vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you get the juice from a lemon? You squeeze it.
Yeah.
And then Paul is saying in the next verse that we are pressed from every side.
Mm-hmm.
All the circumstances, all the troubles are pressing us so that the life of God and the life of Christ can flow through us. So what do you do when your world is collapsing?
Yeah.
When people that you have trusted betrayed you?
Yes.
What do you do when the people that are supposed to be with you are not?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying, well, I had it enough, I stopped serving the Lord? No, you are keeping on. You're pressing in towards the high call of God. And the Lord was with Joseph. See, for Joseph, it didn't matter if he was going to be in prison,
mm-hmm,
or he is going to be taken after the Pharaoh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was content. And I got to tell you, for me, it doesn't matter if I am preaching to 5 people or 500 people.
Amen.
It doesn't matter to me at all.
Praise
the Lord. So I'm content, and Joseph was content.
Yes.
In every circumstance, it didn't matter if he was in the Potiphar's house or in the prison.
Yes.
Joseph was content.
Yes.
And Paul is saying in 1 Timothy 6:6 that, unfortunately, I cannot quote it in English. 6:6 it says, but godliness with contentment is a great gain.
Yes.
So we have to learn this secret to be content. It doesn't matter what way we are.
Mm.
See, Joseph was in prison and the Lord was with him.
Yes.
In fact, the Lord loves to go to prison.
Yes, absolutely.
He was in prison with Joseph. He was in the prison with Paul. He's in prison right now with our Chinese brothers who are suffering for the gospel. In fact, the Lord spent more time in prison than in any other place.
Amen.
But God, I believe one of the things that the Lord is trying to build in us is to be dependent on Him.
Yes.
Not on ideas, not on principles, because some things that work here in the States may not work in Bulgaria.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the Lord is unique, and each one of us is unique. Every church is unique.
Yeah.
So we cannot do copy and paste.
No.
We have to seek the Lord for ourselves.
Amen. That's right.
And it seems to me that the more I walk with the Lord, the less I know.
Yes.
I was thinking about, we were talking about the prosperity doctrine. I believed in prosperity teaching like 15, 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And see, the doctrine is the same, but I don't believe in that doctrine anymore.
Yes.
Why is that?
Yes.
Because I have changed. Because the Lord has revealed to me, gave me a fresh revelation.
That's right.
The doctrine is the same.
That's right.
The doctrine has not changed, but I have changed.
That's right.
Because the Lord revealed Himself to me, and this is a Christian life. We have to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength.
Yes.
And the Lord was with Joseph.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about Joseph is because he had a character.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man of integrity.
Yes.
In fact, Joseph is a New Testament truth in Old Testament times.
Yeah.
Yesterday we were talking about Samson.
Mm-hmm.
How Delilah and his first wife went, and every day they were talking to him, trying to break his will, and finally he did it. He shared his secret.
Yes.
We see the same principle in Joseph's life. We see the Potiphar's wife.
Yeah.
Every day. It wasn't once a month or once a year.
Yeah.
It says every day she went to him and said, Lay down with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking about Joseph. We are talking about a young man.
Yes.
Yeah. Not a senior citizen.
That's right.
That's right.
And in fact, the Lord gave him the power to resist the temptation.
Yeah, that's right.
And Samson, he did a lot of things for the Lord. But he never gave glory to the Lord.
Yeah.
He never thanked to the Lord. He was a spiritual baby.
Yes.
He had big muscles. He did a lot of things for the Lord. But inside of him, he was a small.
Yeah,
he was a spiritual baby, and he had a lot of problems with his character.
Yes,
yes.
And many, and very often, our ministry, our church, our business will reflect our character.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
I was thinking about about the requirements for pastors, for elders, and in Timothy and Titus. And it seems out of 22 requirements, 19 of them have to do with character.
Yes, right.
And only 3 have to do with abilities to teach,
yes,
and gifting and so on.
Right.
So the Lord is really aiming in our character.
That's right.
And Peter is saying that the Lord has given us exceeding promises that we will become partakers of His divine nature.
Yes.
And the promises that the Lord is giving us is only one purpose: to build Christ's character in us.
Yeah.
To become like Him. Okay, the second thing, this is the first thing we see, that the Lord was with Joseph.
Yeah.
The second lesson, if I can say that, we can learn in Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. And you know the story that he was in prison, and the chief baker and the chief butler were there.
Yes.
And he gave an interpretation of their dreams. And in verse 22 of chapter 40, it says that he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. And see, when Joseph gave interpretation, he told the butler, "Don't forget me. When the Pharaoh restores you, don't forget me." In verse 23 it says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him."
Yeah.
Yes.
The second lesson we can learn, that you will always be hurt by people.
Mm-hmm.
People will always betray you. People always forget you.
Yes.
And Joseph could become bitter. He could, he say, "Well, I am not going to forgive him. Now was my time to get out of prison." And there is one principle, that all clean wounds are healed.
Yes.
So we have to keep our heart clean. It doesn't matter how many times people betrayed us. It doesn't matter if the people have forgotten us. We have to forgive those who betrayed and hurted us.
Yes.
Our enemies are the criteria how much we have become like Jesus.
Yes.
I believe that bitterness and unforgiveness are our greatest enemy.
Yeah,
and
right.
This is the, how can I say it? Bitterness and unforgiveness are the nuclear bombs of the devil to the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's like spreading disease. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 12, follow peace with all people.
Mm-hmm.
Not with some, not with people who treat you well, not with people who like you and love you, but with our enemies, people who betrayed us, who put knife in our back. And I think it takes supernatural strength to follow the Lord.
Yeah, it does.
Follow peace with all people. With people who mistreated you, people who took advantage of you.
That's right.
And this is the true Christianity.
Yeah.
There we can see if we have really gave our life to the Lord. And we were coming back from the battleship today. And we were talking about this verse. I was thinking about it in Psalm 30. I will read it in Psalm 37 verse 4. And it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
But before verse 4, there is verse 3, there is verse 2, and verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
And see how it starts, verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. In other words, don't be angry with people who treat you evil. Don't be angry with people who betrayed you, who hurt you. And see, it's very hard to do it. But this is the place where the Lord works inside of you. So when you come to verse 4, I mean, your heart has become like Jesus' heart.
Yeah.
Nobody can do anything wrong to you. So the prayer, Jesus, I want to be like you, is very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
If you don't mean it, please don't say it.
Amen. That's right.
I remember I was watching, that happened like 12, 13 years ago. I was watching one program. I was with one pastor, and there was a TV show, and there was this woman, housewife, that was beaten by her husband with a baseball bat.
Wow.
And I mean, she had bruises, and I was watching this TV program, and I said, oh Lord, my wife should be thankful.
Yes.
That I'm not like this guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I wanted to go and share with her. She was in the other room. And when I started walking, then the Lord spoke to me.
Yeah.
And He said, son, one day when you stand before my throne, I'm not going to compare you with that guy that beat his wife.
Yeah.
I will compare with my son, Jesus.
Yeah.
So the only one we should compare with are not the bad guys, are not the people we are surrounded with.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus Christ, He is our model.
Yes.
Because compared to this guy, maybe he is St. Paul. But one day when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ,
yes,
I will be judged how much I have become like Jesus or not.
That's right.
Can we follow a God who doesn't meet our expectations?
Mm-hmm.
Can we follow a God who does not answer our prayers? At least when we want it.
Yes.
And I believe that this is the ultimate goal for all of us, to become like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Genesis 1:26 it says that the Lord wants to create us in His image and in His likeness. And it has nothing to do with the color of our hair or the color of our eyes. It has to do with the character. To become like Jesus. That's why Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5, be you perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with not doing sins.
Yeah.
It has to do with a spiritual maturity.
Yeah.
Perfectness, be spiritually mature even as your heavenly Father is matured. And it is interesting that Jesus is saying it at the end of the Beatitudes.
That's right.
The Sermon of the Mountain.
Yes.
And when the Lord is giving the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the merciful,
yes.
He is not giving just some kind of a moral teaching.
Yes.
He is sharing His heart, but more than that, He is sharing what is the heart of the Father.
Yes.
He is expressing the heart of the Father.
Yes.
And He wants to build this Beatitudes inside of us.
Yes.
And these Beatitudes were in Joseph's life. So we all start, it seems to me that when Jesus was on earth, there were two types of people who were following Him. The first year of His ministry were the followers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They were following Him for the fish and the bread.
Mm-hmm.
The second year of His ministry, and we can see it in the Gospels, but we don't have time for that. The second year, He was spending more time with the disciples.
Mm.
This is the second group. If you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me every day.
Yeah.
The third year, the closer He got to the cross, the less people were around Him.
Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah.
And that's why at the end of the Last Supper, He say, and the third group of people are His friends. That's why He's saying, He is telling to them, I'm not calling you servants anymore, but I call you friends, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. So the Lord doesn't want us to be only His followers. He doesn't want us only to be His disciples and servants for Him, but He wants to bring us to that place of friendship.
Amen.
Close friendship with Him. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
"They are thoughts for evil. They are not thoughts for evil, but for good and for peace."
Yes.
And the word peace also can be translated friendship.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's thoughts towards each one of us are to have close friendship with us.
Yes.
I was thinking about Abraham when the Lord went down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 19:17, the Lord said, "How can I hide?" He said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I will do?"
Hmm.
In other words, the Lord said, "I'm compelled.
Yes.
I have to share it with him."
Mm-hmm.
Because of our friendship, because of our closeness,
that's
because
right.
of our communion that we have, because of our fellowship, I have to share it with him. And sometimes I wonder, am I close enough to the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Am I like His friend, that He will be compelled to share what He is about to do in Bulgaria, in Dobruja, in our area, or in the city?
That's great.
So, it's really, really will take us a lot of giving up our rights and yielding to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm yours."
Amen.
I was thinking about Job. We were talking about Job, so I was thinking about him because he was almost in the same situation as like Joseph in prison. But when the Lord reveals Himself to Job in chapter 42, it is interesting when the Lord revealed Himself to Job, He didn't say to Job, He didn't condemn him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, "Job, you earthly worm, how could you doubt me? I'm your creator. How could you doubt my severity?" And so on. The Lord didn't condemn him at all. The Lord didn't go to the other extreme. He didn't say, "Well, Job, you are a great man of God, man." He didn't flatter him. He didn't say, "Job, I mean, Abraham is nothing compared to you. You are really a man of faith. You endured so much." The Lord didn't do that either. And the thing that amazes me most is the Lord never answered Job's question. Why?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because in the presence of the Lord, there are no questions.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. In the presence of the Lord, there are no whys.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes when we go to troubles and problems, sometimes we wonder why. Why is this happening to me? Probably Joseph in prison, he also was wondering why. What wrong did he do to deserve to be in prison? Lord, why did this happen to me? What did I do? What happened with the dream? Was that dream from you? Where my brothers and my mother and my father that are supposed to bow down and worship me? Probably we all have our questions. But only in the presence of the Lord we can find answers.
Right.
And only in the presence of the Lord there are no questions. So the more time we spend in the presence of the Lord, less questions we will have.
Yes.
The last thing we see in Joseph is that Joseph had a dream. And we all need vision, we all need dreams and visions for our life, for our ministry, for our family, for the things that the Lord has put us in charge. And the dream will come true on God's time, not on our time. It says that without vision, people perish. In other words, people go astray.
Yes.
They stop walking with the Lord. We were talking about with the brother in Proverbs 3:5. It says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart, not with 50%, not with 99%." And see, we can do only one thing: trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. We cannot do these things together. We have to choose. We either will trust the Lord with all our heart, or we will lean on our own understanding. But we will never be able to do both.
That's right.
So the choice is ours. It's also optional. Okay, and the last thing I want to share about Joseph is in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And we will see 22 and 23. Joseph is in prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him and that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper.
Amen.
So Joseph did everything without complaining. If somebody had to clean the bathrooms, he was there to do it.
Yes.
If somebody had to have a haircut, he was there to do it. He did everything that he was supposed to do.
Sure.
So if the Lord has given us an authority as husbands, pastors, leaders, employers, let us serve the people from that position.
Yes.
The Lord always looking for servants. And the blessings of the Lord will never cause us to grow in the Lord.
Right.
The blessings of the Lord usually will, which word I want to use, will spoil us.
Yes.
Let me use that word. Will spoil us.
Yeah.
Only the responsibilities that the Lord is putting on our shoulders will cause us to grow up in the Lord. Because then you learn how to trust Him.
Yes.
Then you learn how to seek His face.
Yes.
Your character is built there. And let me tell you, 99% of the time, we will have to be led by our character.
Yeah.
By our godly character.
Yes.
You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to seek 7 prophecies about it. Let me give you an example. You at the Walmart. At the cashier.
Yes.
Buying, cereal. And the cashier is giving you $5 more.
Yes.
She's mistaken.
That's right.
So you have a choice.
Yes.
First thing you can do, you can say, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You can say, well, the Lord is blessing me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for closing her eyes.
Yes. Right.
Which will be right.
That's right.
The second thing you say, well, I take this $5, I'll go home, I will pray 3 days, I will seek the Lord. And if the Lord speaks to me in a dream, or if He confirms that to a prophecy, I will keep the money. That will also won't be right.
That's right.
The third thing you can do is to say, you know right away that it's not right.
That's right.
So you give them back to
Amen.
To the lady. So if we have a godly character, if we have integrity, you don't have to pray about it, you don't have to seek about it. You know what is right.
That's right. Amen.
We were in one church in Delaware, and there were two churches who were meeting together to play basketball. So you don't have to pray about it. You know what this is, right? That the Lord is in unity.
Yes.
You know that how good is how blessed is when the brothers are together in unity.
Yes.
So we are led by our godly character. I was a pancreas. I had to clean 40 toilets every day.
Mm.
We had to work for the school, and for 3 years. And I didn't complain about it. There were some people who had some connections and they got the good jobs.
Yes.
At the Bible school. There were sons and daughters of some pastors. And I'll be honest with you, the Lord spoke to me more in the bathrooms when I was humbling myself than in the classrooms.
Yes.
And the Lord is, everything that is happening in our life has one purpose, to prepare us for eternity.
Yes.
If we cannot serve here in humility, we won't be able to reign with Him in heaven.
That's right.
So everything is leading us to that place. So we see that the first thing, that the Lord was with Joseph. The second thing, we always be heard by people. People will betray us, people will mistreat us, but we have to clean our, keep our hearts clean. The third thing is that you will have to have a vision. You have to know where you are going. And the fourth thing is that Joseph was faithful in the little things, even when no one was looking. So let us live this kind of life and be faithful to the Lord. It doesn't matter what price we will have to pay. Knowing that He who has begun a good work in us, in our ministries, in our hearts, in our families, He is faithful to bring it to the end. He is Alpha and Omega, and everything between. And He will open doors for us that we even cannot imagine.
Amen.
If we walk humbly with Him and be in His good hand. So I hope we all were encouraged, and let us keep pressing on. Amen. Yeah, let us pray. Lord, thank you for your wonderful word, and we ask you to be with us, Lord God. Thank you for your promises that you will never leave us, you will never, never forsake us. In all cases, it doesn't matter way we are going through, it doesn't matter what circumstances are, we decide to follow you, Lord God. We decide to follow you at the green pastures. We decide to follow you even in the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
You are all in all, Lord God. And we ask you to be with us, Lord God. May your manifest presence be with us wherever we go. And may we be prosperous, Lord God.
Yes.
Prosperous first in our hearts, in spiritual prosperity, Lord God.
Yes.
And we ask you, Lord God, it doesn't matter how people betrayed us.
Yes.
We ask you to live we want to live in forgiveness, Lord God.
Yes.
We want to forgive and we want to be like you, Lord Jesus. Give us a vision, give us a dream, and we want to be faithful in the little things, Lord God. Even when no one is looking, we want to be faithful to you.
Yes.
So thank you, Lord God, and we ask you to bless us, to expand our boundaries, Lord God. Enlarge the place for our tent, Lord God. And we thank you for the things that you are doing and in through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.